Are you gonna wear those?
No.
Earmuffs?
Earmuffs.
Oh no, I was calling them earmuffs yesterday. He was telling me they're headphones.
Wait, we should introduce ourselves first.
Yeah, we're back in Ethan's breakfast nook. And today we have a special guest with us. And so there's four of us all crammed together in the nook. It's tighter than you might think. There's Ethan's here, I'm here, Sue's with me, and we brought our friend Chris with us to talk today.
Hey.
Hey.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome.
Yeah, he came from a long ways away across town. He has what we would consider a special talent that, I don't know, very few people have, I guess. I don't know what the numbers of people are, but Chris counts cards when he plays blackjack. He keeps track of the numbers and, I don't know, bets accordingly. But so you're here today to talk to us about, like, I don't know, how you got your skill, how you started doing it, why you started doing it, what it is. I thought it was important for us to start out talking about actually, like, what blackjack is, because I don't think a lot, I mean, there's probably some people that don't, you know, don't play. At least I've never played in a casino. I've only ever played with friends, and I don't even know if I follow the rules.
Sure. So. Sure. Well, I guess in concept, blackjack's a pretty basic game. You just, everyone's dealt two cards. The intent is to try to get as close to 21 as you can without going over. In which case, it's a house game, meaning that you're playing against the casino or the house to try to win or lose if you bust.
What's bust?
Bust would mean if you exceed 21.
So what do you get if you bust?
So blackjack, just like many other table games, you present a bet, you know, be it $5, $10, $500, whatever that bet is, then the cards are dealt, right? So if I'm dealt, maybe I get a 17, maybe the dealer gets a 19, he would win. But the way the advantage from blackjack is obviously the players have to go first, right? And then the house goes last. So if I go over my 21 limit, I bust, the round is over, the house takes my money, and then the house doesn't even have to play on their hand.
So that's why you see people, like, you know, they're dealt, and maybe they have like 12, then they say hit me, then maybe they have like 17, and then they get to choose to, what do they say, hold or hit again, or what do they say?
Right. So if I have a 12, right, and then maybe let's say the dealer is showing a 2 up, right, because the house of the dealer only shows one card up when your hand is both cards face up.
Oh, right, he's got that bottom card face down.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So if I'm playing first and let's say I hit and I get a 10, right, that gets me 22, I would lose, right? You know, the dealer could also have 12. He could also gotten that same 10 and also lost, but the game working the way it does, the player has to go first. Mm-hmm. So that's where the house advantage goes through. I guess some of the benefit to that are the player incentive is blackjack itself. If you get a blackjack, which is a face card and an ace, you get 1.5 times your bet. Meaning if I'm betting $10, I would then make 15. Because if I get a blackjack and let's say the dealer has a 9 up or something like that, I have a guaranteed winning hand, so he pays me beforehand, right? And then it's that 1.5 ratio.
How much are you like winning and losing when you're sitting there at the table betting? Like, how fast does it go?
I mean, it goes pretty fast. I mean, you know, generally there's 6 people and 1 dealer. You know, it goes essentially a hand a minute. Maybe hand every 2 minutes would be slow. So most casinos, it's a $5 minimum bet all the way up to about $1,000 maximum bet.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Have you ever played, Ethan?
I've played, never in a casino, but I do enjoy it.
Yeah, I've never played for money or anything. I think the stress would just get me, you know, like a whole $5, you know what I mean, is riding on. And then I don't know, like, when to hit or whatever, you know. I probably would hit at, like, 16 and bust a lot or something. I don't know.
I feel like I get lucky a lot whenever I play.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a social game. I mean, it's, you know, you have the 6 people playing against the house. Everyone's trying to take the casino's money, so people are drinking, having a good time. I mean, very few people are playing with the idea of wanting to play perfect. It's definitely a, you know, a for entertainment game for sure.
Right. And then they actually give you free drinks.
I mean, most casinos will definitely give you free soda and coffee.
Non-alcoholic
like
drinks,
that.
Right?
Well, I mean, in Oregon, I mean, obviously I've played in Vegas. Vegas, you can get hard liquor, you know, you can get Crown and Coke, you know, that's very popular at the tables, things like that. Malibu, pineapple, all that, all these sort of drinks, because all that's free in Vegas while you're playing, so.
What do you like to drink?
Orange juice with plenty of ice. That's generally my drink of choice.
Are you just like pounding nine orange juices while you're sitting there?
There was time. I mean, there's one time I played at Spirit Mountain for eight hours straight. It was a really long session. I probably went through, you know, at least an orange juice an hour. Right? So probably eight orange juices. Wow. So.
I wonder how much sugar you had in that.
Probably a lot. It's like the syrupy orange juice too. It's not the good kind.
Some Sunny D.
Yeah. It's just that Sunny D tang. Mm-mm. Wow. So yeah, I think we got blackjack, you know, kind of down, but so I wanted to ask you, like, how you started counting cards. Like, you know, it's obviously something people kind of know about it, but people think, like, oh, I could never do that. What made you think, like, well, I can do that. I'm going to try.
Well, I really didn't think it. I could do it. I mean, just like anything, you see it on TV, you think that's cool. You maybe read an article about it, and that's about it. You know, I had a friend of mine that could do it. I didn't really believe him at first, and then he's like, just took out a deck of cards and says, here, go as fast as you can, and I'll show you I can do it. And started adding more decks, and I was like, wow, he actually can do it. So, you know, we just got naturally curious, and he would try it. I really had no idea. I mean, I understood the concept. I certainly couldn't do it myself, but.
How hard is it, really? Like, 10th grade math, 5th grade math?
Fourth grade math. I mean, it's addition, subtraction, and division. That's it. It's just constant. It's one of those things that you're tracking every card, right? So, when you have, there's 52 cards in a deck, and most, they call it a shoe, is six decks worth. So you're talking 300 cards. So you need to keep your eye on all 300 cards as they come out. Granted, it's a relatively slow game, and it takes 15 minutes to go through 300 cards, but you can't be distracted because you don't have all the information if you're looking away.
Yeah, but you got to be subtle about it.
That's true. Yes,
it's illegal.
Well, it's not illegal. I mean, that's the common term. It's just it's illegal if you have something that assists you. If I have something that I'm clicking in my pocket, if I'm tapping something on my shoe, that's
if you're doing calculating it, on your calculator,
or on my smartphone or whatever, that is definitely illegal. But if you have nothing to assist you, no clicking mechanism, no smartphone, and you're just simply just using your brain to add and subtract, that's not illegal.
What are they gonna do?
What are they gonna do?
What do they do?
Well,
they catch you.
Well, I mean, if they catch you, I mean, it's the kind of the same thing for restaurants. It's the right to refuse service. They don't have to prove your card counter. They don't have to have reasonable doubt or anything. They don't even have to say why they're removing you. I mean, the common term when I got first kicked out was they were refusing my action. They didn't like to coin that term card counter. You know, that was just I guess something that just was coined a long time ago, but people just call it whatever they want. And you know, it's not like that is in the movies where they take me back in the room and beat me up or anything like this. Matter of fact, they're quite nice. You know, they all take me away from the table. They don't want to allude to other players what's going on, because if they approach me right at the table and we're all aggressive, it's kind of sending a message to the other players, like, we're kicking this guy out because all you guys are suckers, right? So they're in a business too. They're trying to as casually as possibly kick me out without a scene.
Oh.
Yeah.
But then you could make a scene and just try to go back and be like, you know, you could kind of deny it to no end, though. Say, you know, no, I wasn't. I was just getting lucky, you know.
Yeah, but that's probably why they don't use the word card counter, right? Because what am I denying? They're saying they're refusing my action. I say why, and then they say it's just a decision from upstairs. There's nothing I'm refusing. They're not even technically calling me a card counter.
What are some things that might give you away?
Oh, betting patterns. That's the most common thing. You know, if I buy in for, you know, a few $100 and I'm paying playing $5 at a hand, and let's say I'm doing that for many, many hands in a row, and suddenly I'm playing much, much higher dollar increments, you know, $50, $75, $100 increments for single hands, and then going back down to very, very small units, it's not very common. Most players are, you know, they play very small, or they, you know, they play much larger consistently. They don't fluctuate that much.
No, don't answer the phone. Actually, go ahead and answer. Let's see what happens.
Hey, Chrissy.
We can cut that out, right?
Hey, how's it going?
Let's just see what she has to say.
I am actually recording a podcast, or they're recording me, I should say, at Ethan's apartment.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if they can pick up her on the mic, too.
I don't think so. You actually are being recorded at the moment, so. Okay. Yeah. So I don't think I'll be too much longer. I don't know how long these last or anything, but I'm... Nice. I'm not sure. I'm sure if they're wanting to eat later or what have you there. Okay. No, don't worry about that. No, that won't be necessary. It's okay. Okay, well, I'll let you go.
We can cut this out.
Love you too.
I say we keep it.
No, it's the first podcast.
I like it.
I like it. I'm recording a podcast in Ethan's apartment. We should leave that part.
I feel like it's going good so far. Don't you feel like it's going decent so far?
I feel like it's going great so far. I mean, yeah. Tip
of
the tongue. Teeth on the lips.
Teeth and the lips.
Teeth and the lips? Oh,
damn. This is where we have a dramatic pause so we can cut it out.
Oh, my.
We're keeping everything.
Okay. Oh.
Our catchphrases, are you going to cut that out?
Are you going to cut that out?
You're going to cut that out, right?
You're gonna cut that out, right, with Ethan and Paul.
Where were we though? You were talking about how they might catch your betting patterns, but then it's not the dealer keeping track of your betting patterns, is he? Or...
No, of course not. I mean, the dealer can be observant maybe, but it's not really his job. I mean, just like in a casino, there's cameras everywhere. There's a floor boss above a dealer that's watching. So no, the dealer really doesn't play any role in looking at that.
So who catches you?
It's the people in security.
So there's somebody whose job it is to just sit upstairs all day long with like some chips and just watch these small TVs and...
Well, their job is primarily to watch the dealer, make sure that they're running the game right, making sure that people aren't losing their money when they should or winning when they should, making sure there's no theft involved. So that's the bulk of their job, is watching their employees.
Oh, really?
But the secondary part of that is to, you know, watch the players as well. Like if you drop your wallet on the ground, right? The casino is one of the best places to drop your wallet because if they find it, you know, security will catch it. Everything's recorded. So you're almost guaranteed to get your wallet back. That's the same people that do that.
You know, I knew there was like cameras in there, and last time I was in the casino, I found one of those tickets, you know, because like if you're betting on the slot machine and you want to cash out, they actually just give you tickets. It's not like it's coins or anything. It's a little slip of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And I found a slip of paper on the ground. It was only for like $1.60 or something like that. But I mean, I picked it up. It was all crumpled and everything. And I just thought, like, man, are they going to see me on the cameras? You know, I was worried that they might see me and be like, because they don't know. I don't know if they can, like, know how much that was worth or whatever. But I turned it in and I was like, whatever, just made $1.60.
Nice. I wouldn't be surprised if they approached you for that, like, especially if it was a chip on the ground, like a $5 chip, and they saw you pick it up or whatever. Again, it's more for, like, employees. Like, if you worked for the casino and you picked up a chip on the ground, that's a big, big no-no. I mean, you could lose your job over something like that.
One time... I was doing the slot machines in Vegas, and I just kept going to a different slot machine. And I sat down at a slot machine for like 5 minutes, and I was almost out of money. And then when I cashed out, a $100 ticket came out, and I was like, did I win that? Or did I sit down at someone else's slot machine and just take all their money?
What was
it? Oh, man. Yeah, what ended up being...
Did you actually win it, or was it...
I went and cashed it out.
So you have no idea to this day if you actually won there, or if it was already in there.
Yeah.
Nice. I think you would have known if you won.
Yeah, I didn't think I was winning. It's hard to tell.
You know what? You're right. It is really hard to tell. It's like you see all those like lines going across, and then it's like, how come I didn't even get those ones in a row? Why are you paying me on this one? And then sometimes it's like, yes, I got them, you know, four in a row like last time. And then it's like, no, there's nothing, you know. Mm-hmm. I was playing this slot machine the last time I was there, which I don't do a lot of slots ever, but I had some time to kill in the casino, and I was literally putting like 5 cents in, and it was the Monkees themed, like the band, the Monkees, you know.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And every time you'd get like a bonus or whatever, it'd play that song, and hey, we're the Monkees, and then you'd like, I don't know, start making more money or something like that. And if you got like one of the characters all the way in a row, you won a bunch of money and stuff. But it was fun. I mean, it was like really, really flashy and like really, really stimulating. And then they were just like bringing me drinks. And I was like asking the lady, like, you know, what can I drink? And she's just like, anything you want. And so I think I ordered a V8.
Yeah.
Well, they have a soda fountain just right there. You don't, and then coffee, you don't have to ask for that. But it was just like, I don't know, I just couldn't think of anything. It was the morning.
One time I ordered, like, you know, they have Bloody Marys with the pickled beans or what have you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I said, can I just get a whole cup of those? Right, because they didn't really allow
just the beans.
I mean, they didn't really allow for snacks. I just can't say, hey, can I have a Snickers? Like, I was going to pay for a Snickers. I'm hungry. I'm at the table.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed that the Bloody Mary, that they have these beans in it, and that's fine. So I said, is it that far-fetched for me to get, you know, because I'm tipping these dealers fairly well. So, you know, if they can do it, they'll accommodate. They're like, yeah, I can do that. So I got a whole can, or not a whole, I mean, a whole cup full of just those pickled beans. Like, a lot of them. Like, it might as well have been a whole meal.
That actually sounds pretty good. Yeah. That sounds pretty good, actually.
It was delicious, actually, yeah.
That's funny. They're like, you don't want it in a Bloody Mary? You're like, no, just the beans, please.
Just the beans, yeah.
Like, can I have a Bloody Mary? Really, really dry. In fact, just beans. Virgin, yeah. Really virgin and really dry.
Just drowning in beans.
Just drowning in beans. Okay, so I think people probably want to know the process. Like, what does, you know, how do you actually count the cards?
Sure. Well, I mean, I guess the basic concept is blackjack's the only game that's based on dependent variables, meaning that each hand that comes out plays a role in what's going to come out in the future. You know, if there's more small cards that come out the very first hand, it's far more likely that there's going to be less small cards coming out in the future, right? Okay. Meaning it's dependent on each other, right? But that's the only game that's like that. You know, you have roulette, it's a spin of the ball. It does not matter where that ball fell last round. It does. That's not dependent, it's independent. Same thing with craps. You're rolling a dice. It's completely independent. It doesn't matter that you roll a seven. Plays no role of the likelihood of me rolling a seven or any other number.
It starts over every time.
So the longer the game goes on, the less risk there is betting or hitting or on more higher risk. Numbers.
Or more risk.
Or
more risk.
Oh, right.
I mean, it's just, you know, because obviously a six-deck shoe, you know, takes about 15 minutes to go through. You know, so it's not, I mean, it doesn't last a long time. So, you know, obviously in blackjack, the bigger cards, like face cards and aces, are obviously better for the player because you're hoping for the blackjack. That's the one instance where you get 1.5 times your bet.
Right. And even two face cards would be a 20, which is pretty good, right?
Exactly. That's exceptionally good, you know, because the dealer has to stay on 17, right? So he has to hit up to 17 or stay, right? So basically any hand over 17 is generally a really good hand.
Oh, cool.
I didn't even know that about the dealer has to stay on 17 or anything. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they have fixed rules of what to hit and things like that, but the player doesn't. The player can do whatever they want. So, you know, sometimes the casino can make quite a lot of money because if the player has literally no idea what they're doing, obviously they're going to make more money, you know, as an average compared to others that do.
Okay.
So I guess the basic concept would be is if I can bet anything between $5 and $1,000, literally do anything I want, and I can see that the ratio of cards is not going to benefit me, because maybe there's a lot of face cards that came out early, so there's more likely smaller cards, I want to minimize my loss as much as possible, right? Because it is a house edge game, so it's fair to say that, you know, probably 7 out of 10 or 8 out of 10 hands are in the casino's favor to some extent or another, whether that's a tenth of a percent or 4%, right? To some extent or another, it favors them, but then there's maybe that 2 out of 10 that favors you in the slightest. Maybe it favors you a tenth of a percent. Maybe it favors you all the way up to like 3 or 4%. That's huge. Considering, you know, they say that, you know, if you're playing perfect basic strategy, you're not card counting at all, just playing like a computer would, the casino is going to make generally about 0.5% out of all bets made.
I guess I'm having a hard time understanding why they have an advantage.
The advantage comes primarily because the player has to play first, right? They have
so
to
you
go
might bust before they even make a
exactly
move.
And that's really where the bulk of the advantage comes from. You know, so that, you know, so because that's a pretty big role, you know, if you have a 15 and the dealer is showing an 8 up, you have no idea what's under that 8, right? Mm-hmm. Is it a 10? Is it a 5? You don't know, right? But you just know that the dealer has to hit all the way up to 17. So if you only have 15, mm-hmm. it's definitely within your favor to hit. Well, if I hit, I don't know, a 7, I get a 22, I lose my money. It comes around to the dealer. Maybe the dealer had a 5 under there and they were going to eventually bust anyway, but you don't know that. So right. The dealer's house advantage is almost entirely driven on that the player plays first.
Okay. So when you have 15, it's kind of... You are just like, at that point, you're remembering the count and betting according to what your count is.
Right. And so there's kind of like a variance involved. So it can play a decision. Like if you're looking at that, because when I'm referring to counting, it's not counting as in like there's this many jacks that came out. There's this many kings that
came out.
People
are saying it's just like you've memorized every single card that's come out and you know what's left in the deck now, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's a ratio thing, and there's many different types of card counting. I'm considered a very standard, right? It's just a high-low classic count, which standard doesn't necessarily mean bad. Simple is effective. But
why don't you go ahead and just kind of explain? I guess, can you even do it roughly just
sure, right.
Briefly?
So the way the style I would count is 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 would represent plus 1 of value. 7, 8, 9 would be considered neutral, meaning that the more 7s or 8s or 9s come out doesn't really benefit the house so much and really benefit me so much when they come out. Okay. And then 10, Jack, Queen, King, and Ace are all considered negative 1, right? So if, you know, if your hand was a 5 and a 10, right? So 5 is plus 1, 10 is minus 1, so that would be 0. And then like maybe Sue has a 7 and an 8. Both of those are neutral, so that's still 0. And then I have a 2 and a 5. Well, those are both +1. Now the count's +2.
Okay. So right? You're counting all the cards, even other players and the dealers?
Every single one. Every single card I can see. I mean, there's a card that can sometimes burn off the top of the deck where they're just discarded. Uh-huh. But I want to literally be able to count and see as many cards as possible. And the idea is you're hoping for face cards and aces, right? So if a bunch of little cards come out, that's what you're looking for. That's where the opportunity has come, where you can get that 2 out of 10 chance where it's going to favor you. Mm. Because if a bunch of little cards come out, that's +1. So let's say the account's +10, which is not uncommon at all. When you're talking about there's 300 cards in the shoe. Mm-hmm. So being a swing of having +10 or +15, mm-hmm. it's really not that uncommon. And then they have what's called the true count. So if you have what's called a running count of 15, right? 15 little cards more than these neutral or high cards. And then there's how much is there left in the shoe? This is where the division comes in. So let's say you're halfway through. So start at 6 decks. Now there's only three decks remaining and the account's +12, right? The running count just from counting each individual card.
That's called the running count.
That's called the running count, right? So you would take, so the true count, you do the running count divided by the decks remaining. Right, so my example, there'd be 3 decks remaining, so 12 divided by 3 is 4. So you'd have a true count of 4, and that true count helps me determine what my house advantage is.
Okay.
It helps me determine what the house advantage is or my advantage, right? So generally, for every +1 true count, your advantage goes up by 0.5% in general.
Which is significant enough for you to start making money after.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, if we're at 0, right, the 0 true count I'm referring to, you know, the casino is going to have an advantage of about 0.5. Okay. You can look that up based on the rules. But then if I have a true count of 1, now me and the casino are even, right? Mm-hmm. So that's getting better. 2, now I have a 0.5% advantage. Now it's really starting to get
interesting,
right? And then if going up, or like my example, that was a true count of 4. That's a very powerful mm-hmm. count. So, you know, if I'm normally betting $5, right, to minimize my loss, and all of a sudden I have this rare opportunity where it is a true 4 for that, then maybe I'll bet $50 or $60, just as an example, because it's far more likely that 10s or aces will come out. Now, I have no idea where those 10s and aces will fall. It's just as likely that the dealer's going to get 2 face cards as I'm going to get 2 face cards. The thing is, though, if the dealer gets a blackjack, he doesn't make 1.5. If I'm betting $50 and the dealer gets blackjack, the dealer simply takes my 50. But if I get a blackjack, he pays me 75 because of that 1.5. So that's, even though I have no idea where those face cards are going to land, the fact that the player plays first, which is a negative for the vast majority of time, but on those select circumstances, it plays to my benefit.
So you start, your bet kind of starts curving upwards as the count goes upwards and curving downward back as the count goes bad again, right? Like, I mean, they kind of, so like,
how do you bet accordingly so that they don't figure out your counting?
Well, that's a difficult thing to do. And to be honest, I haven't done a very good job of it. You know, I've been barred from a few casinos for that because it does look obvious.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're seeing someone betting small, maybe focus a lot because this is a game where you have to look at all the cards, right? So you're generally not chatting. You're generally not getting up from the table light. So if you see someone very focused and they have a very huge swing in how much they're betting, it can be hard to conceal, except it's so rare that is the casino looking for it? Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. But to be honest, it's kind of difficult to conceal. Or camouflage.
You just throw your random bets in there every once in a while, you know? I mean,
yeah, you can, but it would almost kind of defeat the purpose because the margin, right? That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to generate a margin of profit. It's very small. Mm-hmm. Like they say, some of the best card counters in the world can generate 2% return, right? For every bet made, right? So meaning if I'm betting $100, on average, I'm going to make $2 every single time I bet $100.
Mm-hmm.
That's like some of the best card counters in the world. I'd say for me at my peak, I was, you know, clearing that 1, maybe 1.5%, which I was very, very satisfied with. So when your margin is meaning when I bet $100, I'm hoping to get $101, like that would be exceptional, you know, for an individual bet. So doing a crazy bet or a camouflage bet, even rare once in a while, you basically zero out your margin altogether. So would you really sacrifice losing money in the long run to not get kicked out? Or would you just play as hard as you can and just hope they don't notice, and if they do, so be it. And that's kind of the stance I took.
Yeah. So do you come in like dressed as a janitor with a mustache, you know, peeling off on one side and
No.
Well, can they take your money back if you win big and then they realize you're counting cards?
Nope, because it's not illegal, right? So if you're, as long as you're counting with, you know, no assistance on that, any amount you win, you of course can keep that.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
So But just real quick, can we talk again about how you started? So, like, what? How do you practice? I mean, was your first time kind of scary? Or, I mean,
yeah, I mean,
you're just a robot in there, like.
Well, the first time, you know, I just went with my friend, you know, and just kind of sat there playing, right? Because the concept being, if we're all playing at the table, maybe you're the one counting. I don't have any idea what's going on, but I can see off your bet, right? So if you're betting five, and all of a sudden you suddenly bet 50, and you tell me before we walk to the casino, oh, by the way, every time I bet $50, it's going to be a true count of four. Right. Even though I have no idea how you derive that, but I see that you're betting 50, so I can essentially follow along. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was doing with a friend of mine. So even though I had almost no information, he did, and we're playing at the same table, so I could kind of follow along with him. So that's kind of how I started, just kind of watching someone else.
And then you can get a deck of cards and just start turning over the one card at a time, you know, mm-hmm. and keeping track of the count. Just, you know what I mean? Like queen, four, two, ace. You know what I mean? And you're just keeping track of the count. Like, how fast can you do that?
Fairly quickly. And it only takes, you know, a few seconds to go through a deck. And I have what's called a balance counting system, meaning that it will zero out at the end, right? Two, three, four, five, and six being plus one. Mm-hmm. Ten, jack, queen, king, and ace being minus one. Those are both five cards. And then the seven, eight, nine are neutral. Meaning that if you're counting perfectly, that means by the time you hit the last card of a 52 deck, you should be at zero. So if you're at anything other than zero, you missed your count. So practicing with one deck, three decks, five decks, six decks, what have you, and just doing hours and hours when your goal is to make sure it hits zero every single time. That's how you verify you're counting correctly.
Until eventually you were good enough to keep a conversation going while you were counting.
Right, because you know when you're practicing in your basement or what have you, and you're going really fast, in reality, in the real life game, people are drinking, talking, playing slow. Like the game is really quite slow. Like it's really not a super challenge because it's just not a very fast game. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's good to practice being fast just in case it becomes a fast game, but to be honest, it's generally fairly slow.
Hmm. So are you kind of like, you know, trying to be the life of the party, trying to keep a low profile, trying to stay under the radar?
I mean, it's kind of a little bit of both. I mean, generally you want to be low profile, but you want to celebrate, you want to show emotion. Like if you lose a big bet, even though it's all a part of your, you know, your variance as it were, or if you win a big bet, you know, you want to, you know, show emotion, right? Because that's what every other player does. Even though it's like when I win a big bet, I'm thinking in my head, like, I'm just trying to get my 1.5%. I don't see it as me winning $100. I see it, you know, if when I put a $100 bet out there and I win, in my mind, it's as if I won $1.50 when I just won $100. Because when I'm playing thousands and thousands of hands, that's what's going to average out to. But if I keep that mentality, I'm not going to show much emotion, right? Yeah. So you got to be excited or angry or whatever, just to look like everyone else. You're not trying to be different.
Yeah. So in the movies, it seems like they have kind of different, I mean, they probably play it up, of course, but it seems like, you know, there's a counter and then there's some guy that comes in and just makes the big bet, just like, you know, a pile of cash on the table, and he's got, you know, a girl in each arm or whatever, and he couldn't have possibly been counting because he's... You know, is that a real thing?
It is a real thing. They call that the big player tactic, right? So if you're sitting at this table just getting beat to death by the house advantage, but it's just you, and you signaled the big player with the hand signal, whatever. So now that...
Through your throat or...
You know, with your hand or scratch your ear, or, you know, or yeah, all sorts of different things.
Wink five times.
Yeah, you know.
Something really obvious.
And yeah. so now it's that rare, like, you know...
You should bet now.
Exactly. You know, so then it's that rare, like, you know, 2 out of 10, 1 out of 10, you know, advantage. And all of a sudden that big player who didn't have to play those other 9 tens to where the disadvantage, and maybe I was only betting $5 a hand, he comes in and he's betting $500 a hand. Mm-hmm. But he's only playing just a couple of hands and he leaves. Mm-hmm. Right? So he gets that small advantage for that short period and then leaves. And then, of course, when you leave the casino, you chop the profits.
That seems like a really great method to me. I mean, you could... You know, how could they ever pin you down if you're just making, if you're counting and making the minimum bet every single time, and some guy that you didn't even walk in with, you know, comes over and starts betting? It just seems like, how could they ever even know you knew each other?
Well, sometimes it's you just simply change the rules. I mean, a lot of times I change it to where you can't come in mid-shoe, right? So to make sure it's going through. So if you can't come in mid-shoe, it doesn't matter. They would make you wait until you start over. Or even if they did allow you to come in mid-shoe, which a lot of times they do, you know, these are kind of rare circumstances where you can justify betting that kind of money where it's actually going to play in your advantage. So if you're doing that, this is something that maybe comes out maybe once every 45 minutes, which is maybe once every 3 shoes. So if you're going to come in, play for 5 minutes at $500 a hand or however big player you are, And then are you really just going to sit on the sidelines with your arms crossed for 45 minutes until someone gives you a signal again? It just looks blatantly obvious.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you know, these movies with the card counters, they'll have a room of 10 blackjack tables, and there's a card counter at every single table because the big player is literally just scanning the room looking for that opportunity because it only comes maybe once every 45 minutes. But if there's 10 tables, that'll come frequently. And then he steps in at that table that's going to have the best advantage. And different signs mean different things. Maybe it's like, you know, a scratch top of your head means like, yes, this is a good advantage. Crack your knuckles means, wow, this is a great advantage. You know, cross your arms means like, get in here now, put all the money on the table. You know, there's obviously different advantages.
Poop your pants means run away.
Right. Poop your pants means run away. Or, yeah. So, but, you know, I thought it was great. For me, it was just more of the challenge of, is it possible? Yes. It's like, do I have incentive to do it? Not particularly. I mean, would it be a fun challenge to maybe possibly make some money? Sure, but you're putting your own money at risk. Mm-hmm. I mean, just to kind of put it in perspective, if you're playing perfectly, as close to perfect as possible, and you're trying to make 1.5% on all bets made, you know, that generally can amount to about $25 an hour if your small bet's maybe $5, and let's say your large bet's $100, in the best case scenario that you'd be doing that. You know, at best case, you're looking maybe to make $25 to $30 an hour, which is great. That, I mean, obviously that's good money. There's, you know, for that, but to make that kind of money, you're going to have, you know, $6,000-$7,000 to accept any variance because there's many, many combinations of cards that can come out. So do you really want to risk, you know, $7,000 of your own money with the hopes of making $25 an hour for something that it could be really hard to verify, really hard to prove that you're right? You know, there's just a lot of risk involved. So for most, I wouldn't say it's even worth really investing into it for money reasons. I mean, if you like the sport, the mental challenge, like I kind of enjoy the thrill of it. Will they actually kick me out? Is this actually going to happen? I remember thinking that, you know, I just thought that was like one of my goals, to get kicked out.
How long did it take you playing at the same place to finally get kicked out?
Yeah, tell us a little bit how.
Yeah, give us some
couple
detail.
Of these times you've been kicked out or blacklisted.
Sure. The one. I'll keep out casino names just because I am kicked out of some, but there are some that I'm not, so I prefer to continue playing if possible.
You want to keep going.
Yeah. So there was one particular...
What if they listen to this podcast and like, I think that's Chris.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Is that Chris?
Well, I mean, I've been doing this for over 4 years, so my reign has certainly come to an end here at this point for most places. You know, so this bigger casino I would play, you know, once or twice a week, play for a while, and sometimes I play longer sessions. To me, it just seemed so blatantly obvious that I was card counting. And I remember playing, you know, for quite a few months and be like, are they ever going to do anything about it? Like, I just went on a great run. Like, there was one time I won 8 sessions in a row. Eight straight sessions. I had some kind of profit.
You just come back in the next day with golden grills and, like, $2,000 sunglasses.
What's up, bitches?
You do wear like a $4,000 watch or something when you play? Or
I mean, I can be a little flashy or like look poor or anything, but in the end, it doesn't really matter. They're looking at your money, whether you're in a janitor suit or a tux. To be honest, it really does. You could be in a clown suit. They're watching your money. That's what they care about. That's what they're watching. So I remember just getting stubborn, you know, being confident, be like, okay, maybe they're never going to kick me out. Maybe I can literally just be as obnoxious and obvious as possible, and maybe I could just scale up my bets even more. Are they really going to let me bet $5 and then all of a sudden it's great and I can bet $200? Are they just going to let me get away with that?
Oh, man.
Well, I decided to test that, and I tested it many, many times. So there were times where I would go into the same casino 6 times in 1 week. Like, literally, it was just like I would just go to school, get out of class, go to the casino for 3 hours, and go to work. And I did that basically every day. I mean, my biggest streak was like within a 3-week period, I probably played, you know, 18 out of 21 days. You know, just because I'm like, if they're really going to let me do it, I might as well clock some hours and make that $25 an hour tax free.
Yeah.
Well, that ended up being my bane, right? Obviously, being that obvious, playing that frequently, clearly winning money for how frequently I was showing up.
Not
eventually,
showing emotion when you won or lost.
Right, exactly. Because I'm like, if they're really not going to do anything, I just stop faking it. Because to me, it's like, it's all numbers, it's all pattern. And because it does kind of take kind of the fun out when you're turning into your job to track all the cards to do that, and you're not. I mean, it's hard to relax. It's hard to have a conversation. So if I don't have to show emotion, I'd rather not. I'd rather just like pretend like I'm fishing, you know, just be silent and just count the cards and play for longer sessions.
So what'd they do eventually?
I mean, eventually they called down from the office, and a couple guys in suits pulled me aside, asked to see my driver's license, which obviously is common casino, just carded me. And then told me that they're gonna refuse my action. I said, so why is
refuse
this?
Refuse your action.
Yeah, I'm like, refuse your action. What do you mean? Why you refuse my action? He goes, well, you can play any other game in this casino, but you can't play blackjack.
Are you standing off to the side of the table?
Yeah. So they pull me off the table.
So people are kind of looking at you like, what's happening with this guy?
Sure. Oh, yeah. Customers are looking at me. They can't really hear what I'm saying. But, oh, yeah. And we're right standing in the middle of the casino floor. Mm. And, you know, so I was like, so I could play in a game. You're like, can you tell me why you're kicking me out or why I'm not allowed to play? I've been playing here for quite a while. They're like, it's just an executive decision. We're not going to accept your action anymore. So I said, well, I don't want to play any other game. He goes, well, we can and he just goes, well, we can just give you an escort to the cage and into your car. And it's not that they're nice about it and everything. I still remember to this day that really awkward scenario where I obviously didn't want to play any other games, so they escorted me to the cage. I cashed all my chips.
But I'm not counting in any other games.
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah, and then they gave me a security escort to my car, but they clearly didn't tell the security officers why or what circumstances. They just said, you know, escort this guy to his car. Right.
And then they kicked your ass.
Right, and here I am, this scrawny, you know, 140-pound white guy in an American Apparel t-shirt, right? Obviously, uh-huh. I'm not drunk and disorderly and all this stuff. They just saw me cash out for a few hundred dollars. Uh-huh. And they looked at each other, and they even just asked me directly, why are we escorting you to your car?
Really? They were just curious?
And so I'm just, like, just, you know, shooting the wind with them, like, well, they didn't even tell you? Like, yeah, they just, you know. I said, well, they, you know, they barred me from playing blackjack. You know, card counting, and they're like, "What?" And they're, you know, these people are paid minimum wage as a security job, and they could talk to me about whatever. That's not their job to interfere, so they could just speculate with me all they want. So,
they just
got a huge kick out of how they were escorting me to my car when normally it's a drunk and disorderly situation.
Right.
I wonder how often they catch people counting cards. Like, I wonder how common this really is. Like,
very, very rare. You know, I would think it'd be like, you know, maybe 1%, 1 out of 100 or something, but. I've played over 4 years, met hundreds, if not thousands, of different blackjack players, right? Been in multiple different states playing, and I have not witnessed one. Because obviously, being a card counter, if I can see those patterns and someone else is capitalizing those patterns, I would blatantly see it. It would be very, very obvious.
Especially, you can see each other like you're both like an alien race, and it's like you give each other that signal like, I know who you are.
Yeah, I mean, because even if they're using a different counting method, it's still kind of all along the same thing. So... And I haven't found one. So I mean, it's probably not far fetched to say 1 in 1,000. I mean, I wouldn't have believed that at first, but with my experience and how much I've looked into that and how, like, even Google searching it, I mean, this is not super common of a topic. So it's fair to say probably 1 in 1,000.
Right. I mean, I believe it. It's definitely not that common. I mean, most people you talk to are like, you know, don't even know what it is. And if they do know what it is, they think it's just this impossible, like, Rain Man style. Like,
yeah. Are they going to take 10 hours to study in their garage? Are they going to play hundreds of hours in a casino? It's like, how many steps are they really going to take, you know?
Right. So, yeah, so you've been kicked out. But have you ever, let's talk a little bit about money, you know, just as far as you're comfortable. Like, what's your biggest, like, win at once?
My biggest win was at the Flamingo in Las Vegas. I won $1,900 in about 45 minutes.
Wow.
There was, you know, in Vegas, you know, it's a little bit, you know, it's the mecca for blackjack, which is not a good thing, which means that most of those games are not beatable just because they spot card counters. There's only a select few games that are beatable and their minimums are higher. So when your minimums are higher, your maximums have to be higher to capitalize on those rare advantages.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I was playing there, and I could play multiple hands, and there were times where I was betting $200 on two hands at once, of literally betting $400 at a time. And, it, you know, and there was an 8-deck shoe, right? So an 8-deck shoe could mean that it's really, really negative for you or really, really positive. You can imagine if you get a running count of 20, there's only 3 decks left. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a huge true count, right? So you have full incentive to really put that money out there, especially when you've been losing higher minimums. And I mean, obviously, there's some chance involved in variance. I have a likelihood of I could lose a lot or I could win a lot in a short period, even if it's not likely. Mm-hmm. It's the law of large numbers.
So. You like playing in Vegas?
Do I like playing in Vegas?
Yeah. Is it more fun?
It's more fun because the people are more unique. Other than that, no. I mean, the rules aren't very good. So if you're playing to make a lot of money, you either have to have deep, deep pockets, like $50,000 or more, or you have to go to a different state. Essentially, like Nevada is just not a good place for card counters, as it were.
Do you ever go to Vegas and then leave having like made money?
I've gone to Vegas 4 times, and I've paid for the trip and all my expenses all four times. I've never actually had been a net loss for anything in Vegas, for airfare, food, cabs, nothing.
That's pretty uncommon, I think.
How does that make you feel?
It's great. You know, obviously my intention of that is to be a hobby. You know, I love to make money, right. But I love the mathematical challenge. Now, granted, there's some luck involved with that. You know, obviously being able to pay for your airfare and all that. I mean, that's more than $25 an hour, right? So it's fair to say that I've been lucky in those few, you know, circumstances. But yeah, I think it's great to have a hobby that you can challenge your brain and potentially make money. You know, how much you can make, you know, kind of depends on the different variables. But yeah, it was a fantastic feeling to pay for my trip four times in a row.
Yeah, free trip. I've had a couple free trips to Vegas, but not because I won at gambling.
Yeah.
So how often do you even get a chance to anymore with, you know, after graduating college and having a real job and everything?
I don't know. I'd be lucky to play once every 2 months or so. So you call it six times a year, maybe.
Wow.
Yeah, anymore, which is fine, which I'm fine with, you know, with getting married and, you know, working a full-time job and moving on to other things. You know, I make a lot more money in the stock market than I ever did playing blackjack. So it's not all about the money. It was never all about the money. You know, I always enjoyed just playing for the sport of it. I mean, if I'm playing about the money, I'd be better off just working. I make that much money at my job. So it's not, so I don't really have incentive to play 6 days a week anymore.
So what does your fiance think?
I mean, she liked it quite a bit. I mean, she's gone up with me a number of times. I mean, it's not the most entertaining thing you can imagine if you're not playing, if you're standing behind someone. You know, because she stood behind me, you know, 3-4 hours at a time while I'm playing, just because she's not playing herself. So she doesn't want to take a seat at the table. So, I mean, it's fine. She enjoys it. You know, we get comp-free meals. Like, I've probably, over the 4 years I've played, it's probably safe to say I've probably had over $3,000 in comped meals. And free
meaning the
food.
Casino just like gives you the meal just
for money.
The more you play, the more they start to give you, and the more you bet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah. So $3,000 with money I would have spent on food, but because they comped to me, I've saved that. So, you know, it's, you know, of course she's coming with me, so she benefits from that, and it's a challenge. She you know, obviously is supporting me just because I enjoy the challenge, but it's not how much of a group activity is it? Not much. I mean, it's probably terribly boring for her, I would imagine.
What's your mom think?
I don't know. She just, she doesn't think much of it, I suppose. I mean, it's okay. I mean, she's always been fairly confident in me. She never verifies how, who, what, where, why sort of thing. So she doesn't, I wouldn't say she has a very strong opinion on it.
Do you think she really understands what, like, she probably is like, oh, he's made a couple hundred up there, I'm sure.
I mean, I've told her how much money I made. I mean, I've made enough money to pay for my junior year in college. Wow. Right? So we're talking almost $15,000 that I made playing blackjack. So she knows I've made decent money. Now, granted, keep in mind that's $15,000 over 4 years. Mm-hmm. So is that very much money? No, that's really not very much money, you know, between your gas, commute, and everything. But that was fine. It wasn't about the money. It was about I have a hobby that I could play for multiple hours and enjoy and make some money.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Seems worth it to me. It seems like it'd be, you know, a fun thing for you still if there was like a team of people. Like, you know, you had, you know, your group of four friends and you all went up there and you did the you did the signal, you know, the scratch the head, the poop your pants, whatever.
We all need to go to Vegas.
What if we all just learned how to do it? What are we doing?
Or we wouldn't just all watch Chris and then
we don't even need to learn.
That's exactly right. You wouldn't
two babes.
We don't even need to learn. You could just come in two babes, you know, and then as soon as Chris clears the throat, you go in with the big bet.
That's right. I mean, you don't have to have the information. Only one of us has to have the information. So if you understand the basic strategy of what to do with that information, yeah, you don't even need to be a card counter. You can. I'm essentially giving you free information by looking at my bets.
You do, though, have to have some money to start with.
Exactly, right? And you're risking your own money, right? So if I'm risking $7,000, which I was in college, I was a junior in college, right? That's essentially my student loan debt that I'm putting on the blackjack table, right? So that's a little bit insane, right? So that's my own money. So if my little far-fetched theory of, oh, I watched this movie and watched my friend play and, well, let's give it a shot and let's jump in, well, I was risking $7,000 if I was wrong.
Yeah.
And considering one in a thousand are successful, it's fair to say it's probably not a safe bet for you even to start or to try.
Well, let's just start small. You know, we'll bet a couple hundred here and there, and then we'll use the money that we win to bet more next time, and hopefully it'll roll into a huge pile of cash. You know, we could rent a storage unit and start piling the cash in there, and we could all buy a business together and launder the money. I mean,
Walter White status?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. We have to be smart about these things, you know. Well, looks like we're going in a new direction now, card counting, but I don't know. We'll see. I'm curious how many people out there are going to want to try to, you know, look it up and maybe give it a try. I mean, I don't know. You almost made it sound so easy, really.
It really is easy.
You said fourth grade.
I really do mean it. It's easy, right? The addition and subtraction and division, I have every confidence I could show you how to card count. It's just, can you be consistent? Can you pay attention? Can you really sit down at a table for 4 hours and look at all the cards? Like, we're talking, you know, 300 cards every 15 minutes. So you're literally tracking thousands, doing math constantly, and takes a little bit of the fun out. Can you do that consistently for hundreds of hours to generate $25 an hour? That's much, much harder than actually learning how to card count itself.
Yeah. It's a grind.
Yeah, very, very much so. Absolutely.
Wow. Well, it's so interesting. You know, I feel like I really got a good, you know, you're so good at describing it. I feel like I understand it. You know, counting cards, it's not this mysterious, vague idea anymore. I feel like it's this, you know, this concept that I can kind of wrap my mind around now. And it's so interesting that you do that, you know.
I am. And I mean, people ask me, you know, fairly frequently on this topic, and they generally get the assumption that I'm going to recommend that they play. And to be honest, I don't. I mean, the probability of you being successful in the long run is very, very small. So it's like, I generally don't recommend people go into it to supplement their income or things like that, just because there's so many other things you could put your time into. But if you truly have some risk capital at play that you can afford to lose and you're in it for more of the sport, then yeah, I'd say go for it. But if other than that, if you're trying to supplement your rent, yeah, I'd say walk away. You're much better off working at McDonald's. And that's coming from someone that's been very successful at it.
Yeah. Do all casinos have a buffet?
Yeah, most.
That's like a thing. Yeah, the casino has the buffet.
It's pretty rare if they don't. Like, that's a really weird casino if they don't have buffet.
And the seafood buffet. And like,
it's generally awful, yeah.
Do you ever hit the buffet hard?
No. I hit the toilet hard after the buffet.
I've gone to the casino buffet before. It's just overwhelming, and you have to just stuff yourself to the brim and try everything. And, you know, and it all kind of tastes the same, though, is what I realized. I went for the breakfast buffet the other week, and like, I noticed that almost everything on my plate had the same kind of like Pam spray-y taste to it, you know?
That's nice.
Yeah, it didn't really matter what you got. Like, you could get the scrambled eggs, you could get the eggs Benedict, and then you could get the bacon, and it all just had that same like kind of zing to it, you know? But, and then the coffee was like really sharp. I don't know. It was just like this, like kind of this bitter and sharp coffee. I don't know, but I definitely chugged it. And then that's when I played that monkey's game. I don't have that many casino experiences, but
yeah, me either.
Me and Sue went to a casino the other day, or not the other day. It was like a couple months ago, and we were just like trying to find where, because we'd heard that you could get drinks. So I was like trying to find out how to like order a drink, and there was just no way. So we just gave up. And
well, the staff is very short. I mean, obviously, when you have a couple hundred people, there's only a couple of servers. They do that intentionally, so you have to play at a slot for like an hour before you get your free drink.
Yeah. Well, so, we were spending no money.
Exactly. I mean, you would eventually got yourself a free drink, even just spending no money just by looking at a slot machine. But you'd be sitting
just staring at the
you'd
slot
be sitting
machine.
There for a long time. You'd be like pretend to play, and she would have just felt so bad for you that she's like, "Yes, I'll give you some free orange juice. I don't care."
Nice. All right. Well, it was good to hear from you, and thanks for coming into our breakfast nook. You know, it was a fun experience.
Yeah, it's a pleasure being on the show.
All righty.
Yeah, I like it. Sounds good.
You're just adding this onto the existing podcast?
Welcome to Anecdote.
We are, yeah.
Here are stories. Sit down and listen. This sounds like Roseanne. I'm serious, right? If you saw the intro to Roseanne.
I don't know Roseanne.
Like, I don't have the jingle in my head, but that's when it